Our Bible reading today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, and Sarah is going to come up. She's going to come and read it to us.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And so it was with you, brothers, and with sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those who love him. For God has revealed them to us by his Spirit.
I invite Richard to come and join us. Those of us who are regular, Richard will know who you are and why you're here. But with quite a few visitors, perhaps you could just give us a little bit of context of why you're here. All right?
Certainly will.
Every blessing.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here again. Thank you for once again allowing me to come along and give you an update of all of our work in Colombia. But not only that, the great privilege of being able to teach God's word, which I take as probably the biggest privilege in my life to be able to do. So I'll just give a quick introduction for those who don't know me. I've been coming along to this church for a lot of years now as an invited speaker. I have a very special family of friends here, and especially Ian and Jackie Peniston. And I went to Ecuador back in 1996, didn't we, Ian? On a missions trip to do a building project to work with street children. And from that team, there's actually lots and lots of people who have gone out to different places around the world serving God. And I have the privilege of being one of those people. And that was my very first missions trip. And it was a moment where God put a calling on my heart, and it's a calling that transformed my life. And I have the privilege now of working with lots of children in Colombia. And at our foundation, we have almost 200 children now, 4 children's homes and a school. And we have a vision for 5 homes eventually. And we've had the privilege of transforming many children's lives. Now, for the families of the babies that were dedicated today, I just wanted to read you a verse from Genesis. And we have the privilege of helping many babies in our home. And it says in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." And whenever we receive a new baby into our foundation, I always think about that. That each and every baby is an absolute miracle from God. And only God can breathe the breath of life into a newborn baby. Only God can do that. Man can't do that. That's one of the miracles and the mysteries of God. And I think that's just an indication to us of how special the creation of life is. You know, I was thinking just about some of our babies that we've had in the foundation as the babies were being dedicated this morning. And there's times when we go to church and we take a whole group of babies to be dedicated, not just one or two. And one of those babies was a little baby called Laura. And I know some of you will have heard this story before, but she was a baby who was born prematurely. And the mom came to our home and knocked on our door asking for help. and she pulled out of her jacket this teeny tiny baby that had been born prematurely. And that baby I could hold like this in the palm of my hand. And the doctors had said that baby wouldn't survive because she was born prematurely and she was very sick. And we prayed and prayed over that baby, and I know that God did a miracle in her life. And she's all grown up now. She's not a little baby anymore. That baby did survive, and she's now all grown up. In fact, she's taller than I am, and she's now graduated from high school, and she's dreaming about going on to be an air stewardess. Now, my message today is all about transforming a life. And I want to say to us as believers that God can use us to transform a life. Now, you know, I was thinking about evangelism. We do evangelism at our foundation. Our kids go out and teach God's word through drama and dance and praise and worship and all of those things. And I think sometimes we mix evangelism up a little bit with mission. And we're all called to go out and tell people all about Jesus. That's the Great Commission. And all Christians, all believers are called to go out and do that. But we can express that in a very real and practical way through mission. A mission is much more than just telling people about Jesus. It's about serving God, about following him, about believing in his calling and putting the things that he puts on our heart into action every day in our lives in serving him. Now, you know, I can't show you exactly the route to know what the mission is that God has for you. But I can be sure that God has different missions for you in your life. And they might be from very small things to very big things. You might go out of this church today and meet somebody on the corner, and God's going to give you a mission opportunity. And that might be that they just need help with something, or they need a word of encouragement, or they need a hug in a certain moment, or maybe they're going through a difficult moment and you see somebody there crying, and you have the opportunity to go up to them and say to them, God loves you, or can I help you today, or what's wrong? That's a mission opportunity, and it's just a very small thing, but it's something that can open a door into a person's heart. Now, a lot of years ago, we used to go to a place called Nueva Esperanza in the city of Bogota, a very poor neighborhood, and we would go up the mountains with our truck and take all types of donations, clothes and food and all types of things. And we had a lady who came to our foundation just a few months ago now, and she said, you probably don't remember me, but when I was a little girl and I was about 8 or 9 years old, you used to come to our neighborhood and help us. And you brought clothes and food and all of these different types of things. And when we saw your truck coming up the mountain, we'd get really, really happy because we knew that God's blessing was coming in a very practical way. And she said, I'm here today because I trust in you. And because you did that, and because you showed God's love, and you took that mission opportunity, that's why I've come today to ask for help. And so she came to our foundation and said, I live in another neighborhood that's very, very poor. And she said, my children really need help. And I'd like to ask if you would come and help them. Now, you know, we don't go to every place that we're asked to go to. But that day, God really put a jump in our heart. And we realized that God was giving us a mission opportunity. And God was calling us to go to that place that day. And we got in our vehicle and went up the mountain. And we thought we knew all of the poor places in the city of Bogota. And she took us over this mountain. And we found this community that we didn't know, that we'd never been to before. And I truly believe with all of my heart, God not only took us there to help her children, but to present us a whole new community where we can begin to be an example of God's love in a very practical way. And we've now started helping that community. And through that, we've had more children start to come to the foundation. And we've taken in some external students too from that area. But it's been incredible to see how taking that mission opportunity has allowed us to begin to tell the people in that place all about the saving love of Jesus. And that has been incredible. We took in the lady's two little boys now living in our home. They lived in a shack with bits of metal and dirt floor and the same type of circumstances that I've described to you before. Those two little boys who were 2 and 4 years old, one of them had cut his hand and he'd cut the tendons in his finger. And for that to be repaired, he can't be allowed to move his fingers like this. And you know what the people who had treated him had done? They put a hole in his nail and tied a bit of string around it and then tied the string around his wrist so he couldn't open his finger like that. And that was the only help that that little baby had had. And we were able to be able to help him and to be able to help repair that tendon and get his finger working again. And God has begun to transform the lives of those two children. But not only that, to be able to impact a whole community of around 400 families. And I want to say to you, when God puts an opportunity in your path, right here in Crowham, on the road, or in your work, or in your lifetime, I want to encourage you to take that opportunity. And you're going to see that God can allow you to transform a life for him when you take that opportunity. Now, I want to look a little bit at 1 Corinthians 2 today. So if you'd like to find that in your Bibles again. And I just want to take that apart a little bit more. Because I didn't think that these verses had lots to do with missions. And then the more I read them, God started showing me how these verses had to do with missions and to do with transforming a life. So in 1 Corinthians 2, we'll start at verse 1. Okay, but I'm just going to kind of summarize verses 1 to 6. Okay, now we need to remember this was written by Paul, who was a man who had been transformed by God for missions, and probably, other than Jesus, was probably the greatest missionary that there ever was. A man hugely used by God. So we've got to remember who's writing these letters and these verses. So it says that Paul was a man transformed by God for missions, and he came to the Corinthians trusting in the power of God. Now in missions, we need to trust in the power of God because we want to see the impossible become possible. And we've seen that so many different times in Colombia. Verse 6 talks about the wisdom of the Spirit. Now we're called as Christians, as believers, to apply a different wisdom to situations as the world would apply. The world would apply a different type of wisdom. And the world is thinking all about self-gain and prospering self, I think in many circumstances, you know. But in missions, we're thinking about sacrifice and serving and helping other people. But then I thought, you know what? No, missions too is about self-gain. Because what brings me the greatest joy in my heart is to serve God. And is to see how God changes the lives of our children. And that brings me great joy in my heart. And I know the greatest thing that I could ever do, and the greatest blessing I ever receive, is the joy that it gives me to be able to serve God. And so actually I want to say missions is actually not about sacrifice. It's all about self-gain. Because I think it's incredible to be able to serve God. Now let's go a little bit further on. And in verse 11... we're told we can know the thoughts of God. Now, I want to say that if we can know the thoughts of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can have clear where it is that God's calling us to serve, in which ministries, in which places, with which people, in which circumstances, and God can show us all kinds of different mission opportunities all throughout our day, from little ones to very big ones. When we're clear about following God's heart, then we're going to see God do incredible and amazing things. Because God doesn't fail. God completes everything he promises. And when we're clear about what he's calling us to, he can use the most incredible little opportunities to do huge things. Like when we went to help those two children, but then from that, God has allowed us to help a whole community of people. And it's had a much bigger impact than we ever imagined. Because God on that day spoke into our heart and said, go and help these kids. So then let's go a little bit further on. And we go into verse 12. And verse 12 says that we can understand what God has freely given to us. Now, I know that God has freely given us salvation through believing in Jesus as our Savior, but I also want to apply this a little bit differently and to say that every day we see God's provision in our foundation. Every day, for example, when we feed all of our children, and I know that God has blessed us so that we can go and buy that food at the market, and it's something that God is giving to us. And every day I can say I see that in a very practical way. And then as we go a little bit further on, it tells us in verse 14, the man with the Spirit can't understand the things of God because they're foolishness to him. Well, I think God has sometimes called us to do things that have seemed foolishness maybe to the world. And when Janine started to dream about going to help all of these children in Colombia, then, and she told her mom and dad, perhaps they thought that was foolishness, that she thought she could go to Colombia and start to help children and God could use her. And now we look back 25 years as we're having our 25th anniversary, and we've seen that God, in fact, used the yes to that calling to transform many children's lives and to give them a much better future. So I want to say there's certain moments where God almost calls us to do things that seem foolishness to the world, but in God's eyes they make perfect sense. When we were building our school back in 2009 and we were negotiating for the iron for the building, and I wanted a certain price for that iron, and I was determined I was going to get that price, and none of the suppliers wanted to give me that price. And I started to pray, Lord, give me a way, show me how to help that to happen. And my wife makes wonderful chocolate chip cookies. And I said to the guy from the iron company, you know, tell your boss, if he gives me the price I want, I'll ask my wife to make him chocolate chip cookies. And he rang me back a half an hour later. And isn't it incredible the things God can use? And he said to me, you got the price you wanted. You better get baking. You know, missions really is incredible. The impossible becomes possible. And when I look back over the last 25 years and see everything that we've been able to achieve, I want to use it today to glorify God, but not only to that, to challenge you to say that it just started with something very, very small in the beginning. And I'm going to say that God might present you a missions opportunity today, tomorrow at work, or some other day this week that might seem very, very small. But when you say yes to it, you might see God begin to do huge things over many years with that obedience to his calling. Now in 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 to 10, I just want to share a little bit from those verses because it really jumped out of the page at me. So when we are walking with God, and when we're looking for God, and when through the Holy Spirit we can understand the things of God, and when we put them into action, even if they seem foolishness, God's going to do incredible things with that. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I know that that's talking about eternal life, because heaven is an incredible place. But I want to also say that applies to life here when we say yes to God's calling to missions. Now, I want to talk about the word believe, because when we receive that message from God into our heart, and when our heart jumps because we're given a missions opportunity, then we have to think about believing in that calling to our heart. And when we believe in it, that's something we'll then put into action. And I think many people don't understand about belief. They say, oh yes, I believe in God, but don't really probably think about what that really and actually means. So let's take a look in Matthew 7, verse 21. And I'm going to share with you something very interesting about the word believe. Okay? So Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Now, I know that we can only get to heaven through believing in Jesus as our Savior. And there's nothing that we can do in works to deserve that. But I do want to say that if we believe in Jesus as our Savior, then there are good fruit and good works that come from our life because we want to serve Him. And He calls us to do great things for Him. Now, talking about this word believe. So I started to look up the meaning of that, and often to help us get a meaning, we can look up the meaning of a word in Hebrew. So I started to look up the word believe in Hebrew, and it's the word aman. A-M-A-N is the word for believe in Hebrew. So I thought, right, okay, let's have a look at what exactly that means. So in Genesis 15, verses 5 to 6, God had made this incredible promise to Abram. And it tells us this. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them. And I'm going to tell you, you can't. There's too many. If you started from the day you were born until the day you died, you'd never get them all counted. There's so many stars. And it goes on and God says to him, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And it said, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. So that helps us understand what belief in God's eyes is. That God talked about this thing which probably seemed foolishness to Abram, but yet he believed it. And we know that that belief was true because God certified it as belief. Isn't that incredible? Now, wouldn't that sound foolishness? So when God says to you something in your heart that seems foolishness, don't disbelieve it. Believe it. Because sometimes God puts things in our heart that seem foolishness, but to Him, they're not foolishness. Because God's the all-powerful and the all-grateful. So then we go on a little bit further, and I thought, right, let's understand this a little bit better. So if we go to Isaiah 22, verse 23, and there's a verse here. Now, I don't need to tell you the whole context, but there's a verse here in Isaiah 22, 23 that says, I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will become a seat of honor for the house of his father. Now, when it says firm place in that verse in the Hebrew, it uses the word aman, A-M-A-N. And when we go to that verse in Genesis, and it talks about belief, it uses the same word, A-M-A-N. So now we can understand what belief is. Belief is in a firm place. Belief is the firmest place that we can be. And belief is where God calls us to be. And it's the most secure place for us that we could ever be. Is believing in what God puts in our heart. I thought that was incredible when I finally managed to put all that together of how belief is. And I'm going to say believing in God and believing in Jesus as your Savior and following His calling in your life is the best place you could ever want to be. Now, you know, from time to time we do projects and building and things, and God put a dream in our heart to begin to believe for a new building. And that might seem foolishness to the world. But you know, we do 6 sit-ins for our lunchtime at our foundation with all of our children. And we wanted to have a big lunchroom where we could all have lunch in one go. And you know, we've been working with the Navy and the Air Force. And many years ago, if we'd said we'd be on Hercules airplanes going into the Amazon jungle to take humanitarian aid and medical missions, those things might have seemed foolishness. But God put that dream in our heart, and long before it ever happened, that dream was there. And when God's perfect timing came, He opened the opportunity. And I want to say incredible things just start with a dream and a desire that God puts in your heart. Just a few months ago, we had a team in June, in the Amazon, in a place called Tarapacá. And we always believed, you know, that on one of our medical missions, we attended about 1,500 people in 2 days. Very, very needy people who had no access to medical help. And we always believed that one day we would have a baby born on our medical mission. And that day, an indigenous lady came in to the medical mission. And she said, "I'm just about to give birth. Can you help me?" And not on all of our medical missions do we have a baby doctor or a midwife who's able to, you know, to deal with that situation. But God knew that was going to happen. And on our team, we had precisely the person we needed to help that baby to be born. And we had our very first birth on our medical mission. And Janine got to hold that little baby not long after it had been born. And she said, "You know, now you have a grandma, Janine." But that's another little life that we've been able to impact because of saying yes to God's calling. So God's been making our new building possible, and that's a big help for us because on the ground floor, we're going to do a whole purpose-built center for humanitarian aid to help us take our humanitarian teams and our medical mission teams out to those far-out places with the help of the Navy and the Air Force on their boats and on their aeroplanes. And what may have seemed foolishness many years ago now makes perfect sense. And God is allowing us through missions to transform lives. So I'm going to put on a little bit of my DVD. Please come through for coffee at the end. And I've got all of my DVDs there. They're free and I'm very happy for you to take them and lots of other information. And also the coffee here is very good. So worth a visit. So I'm going to just show you very quickly chapter 3, which is our new building project and what God has been allowing us to do. So this is our new building, and this will be, I think, our 8th building. It's going to be 4 floors, and this was our groundbreaking ceremony, and all of our children were raising their hand to God and praising Him and asking for His help. That's our new building team. No, I'm only joking. We started with the demolition. And we began to dig out for all of the foundations. And then the iron started to arrive. And bit by bit, we put all the forming together for the foundations and began to pour that concrete. Now, then afterwards, we had to do lots of compacting of the earth that was going to go all around those foundations. And we've also had now all of our plans are finished, everything's been approved and done. And then we started to pour all the concrete for the ground floor. And that's Christian, and Christian is one of our boys who graduated from our foundation and went to live now outside the foundation, all grown up, and Christian's come back to work for us on our building site. And then we started to put on that next floor up, so we had to put up all the scaffolding and all the wooden forming. And I kept telling our building crew, before I go to England in October, I want that next floor on. And they worked incredibly hard with great passion for what they were doing to help Colombian children. And then the mixer arrived, and that day we poured 40 cubic meters of concrete, which is a lot of concrete. It's about 7 to 8 concrete trucks full. There I was, very happy because it was just about done. But you know, that building, to many people, may have seemed foolishness. But to God, it made perfect sense. And I know that God is going to use that building to help impact many communities all over Colombia. Not just for the communities that we help in our external help, but also for the children who live in our home. Great, thank you. Can I actually go back to chapter 1, please? Would that be okay? That's it. Thank you. So it's a very special year for us because we're having our 25th anniversary for Children's Vision, and our 10-year anniversary for New Hope for Children, our UK charity that supports the work down there in Colombia. So Children's Vision was started all those years ago because of a little baby called Gisela who was born in a cardboard box. And this was how the Genesis House looked in 1994. And as you can imagine and see, there was a lot of work that needed to be done. Genesis was our first children's home. Can I get the volume up just a touch, please? Thanks. Thank you. And you look at a situation like that and you think, where do you begin to make that into a children's home? But bit by bit, God said the things needed, and the bricks, and the concrete, and the cement, and bit by bit, that house began to be built. And then once the house was ready, God began to send children. And this is Oscar, who's one of our little babies from back then, and Brian. Now, Brian's mom had lost an arm in a gang fight from a machete blow. And she was very much involved in gang activity. And we had the privilege of taking Brian into our home and giving him a safe home and a place where he could be loved and cared for. And then we had our first chicken pox. And this is Bob who puts our phones in. And Bob gave us our very first telephone. And then Rotary International helped us and we received our first vehicle. And this was our first Christmas and our first staff. So as you can see, our foundation started with something very small that God has grown into something very big. And we saw that there were more and more children that were needing help. Children who lived on the mountain with shoes just like this. And so from that came the Exodus House in 1999. And you can see the 1 to 10 there on the front to represent the 10 commandments and the heart to represent the heart of God. And this is how the house looked when it was first bought. Nothing ready to be a children's home. But God once again made all the provision and built that house floor by floor by floor. Many people came alongside to help us and teams came to Colombia to help put that house together and make it ready to receive children. And this was the opening day, and our family grew by about 30 in one go. Oh my goodness, it's quite an impact. And here are some of our older children now on a visit to the park. And then came the Numbers House, which was in 2005. Now you're going to say, hold on, you got that out of order. That's because the new building that we're building used to be called our Leviticus property. And this house was for girls, for our older girls. And then from there, we got a new house, which we then called that the Leviticus House. And the new property where we're now building is called our Blessings property. That is a house for princesses, and it's my favorite house in the whole foundation. It's beautiful. And once again, we took in another whole group of children, and our family grew once again. Now this is Sol, and she has the most beautiful smile. And then we started our school. The school started back in 2000, and this was the old Leviticus property. And we bought these other two properties and did the demolition. Got all the rubble out. We filled about 120 dump trucks with rubble. Lots and lots of hard work with demolition hammers. And then we did our groundbreaking ceremony for the school. And God provided for all of our needs for that building. And what the world might have thought was foolishness to God made perfect sense. 2009 was the opening of our Beginning of Wisdom School. Twenty-five years of serving God, and all because Janine said yes to a small thing that God asked her to do all those years ago And since then, we've been able to transform many, many lives. So stop the DVD there, thanks. So I just want to encourage you today and to say, when God puts a dream in your heart through the power of His Holy Spirit, believe in that dream and be firm in it, as we looked with the true meaning of believe. And I'm going to tell you, when you believe in that way and you follow God in obedience, He's going to do incredible things with that. And I hope tomorrow that when you're in your workplace or in your family or walking down the street and God gives you a mission opportunity, that you're going to take it with both hands and God can use you to transform a life. So I'd like to finish in prayer, please. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Father, for these two new babies that we've met today. I thank you for the gift of life. And Father, I thank you that you give us all opportunities, Father, in our families and in our workplaces and the different places that we are, Father, when we're not here at church, even in many other places outside, to take missions opportunities for you. And Father, I know that when you show us an opportunity and you speak into our heart, and that opportunity might just be so simple as helping someone carry something, Father, I know that showing that love of God in a very practical way, Lord, can impact a heart. And from those very small things, a life can begin to be transformed. So, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for Chrome Road. I thank you, Father, for this group of people, your church here. I thank you for the impact they have in this community, in the different places where they serve, in the different ministries that we see going on in this church, Father, and in the outreaches to this community, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you that they're a shining light for your love in this place. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to strengthen them and empower them and help them in all that they're doing in service of you in this place. Father, and may you use them greatly to transform lives for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.